Welcome to the Self Insurance Podcast brought to you by CRNBC. Every 2 weeks, we are interviewing restaurant owners, industry experts, and brokers to explore the world of self insurance for the California restaurant industry. I'm KS Stanley. I'm joined here today by Mike Dermanuel. He is the regional president of Hub International in Central California. Welcome, Mike.
Kaya, thank you for the invite. I really appreciate being here with you today.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, Mike. So you have a very long history in insurance, and you are now the regional president at Hub. Tell us about your experience and what brought you here today.
My journey began in London at Lloyd's of London, not by choice, but I was working for my college fraternity in the late 80s and we lost our insurance. And at the time we couldn't get it in the United States. So I was sent to London to find some coverage for 225 locations of a men's college fraternity, probably the toughest risk in the world at that time. And I got hooked on the insurance business. And from there I came back to California and joined my dad's agency, purchased his agency, grew it, and then in 2018 joined Hub International. So it's been a great journey, but yeah, ironically, it did begin in London.
That's an amazing story. Yeah, you're not kidding. The toughest risk to insure young men in a fraternity.
Yeah.
So tell us about your practice now. What do you focus on? What do you love about it?
First of all, I think I've always orientated our insurance practice around helping our clients succeed in their industries and in their businesses. It's been our focus. So, but more specifically, we're, of course, a very large partner with the ag industry, private security, with hospitality, with nonprofits, construction. And we've grown quite a bit. We doubled in size since 2018, since we came with Hub. And along the way, a lot of our focus has been on introducing our larger clients to all kinds of alternative ways of financing their insurance. And so self-insurance has played a big role in that.
And obviously, I'm partial to self-insurance because I'm CEO of a self-insured group for restaurants. But let's talk about that, because there's a lot of brokers, as you know, out there who sell one type of insurance and don't really understand all the different formats. And you guys specialize in understanding all the different alternatives. So talk a little bit about why you guys have made that such an important part of your practice.
I think it's become a natural fit for us because our clients, the ones that we select to try to work with, view insurance as more than just a commodity. So they actually delve into the details of how am I going to finance my risk? What does that look like? And do I need a long-term strategy than just marketing my account every year? So those are our best clients. And so they're always willing to talk about the alternatives. And self-insurance became something that we became familiar with when the workers' comp market collapsed in the early 2000s. We were left with State Fund and almost nobody else. And we actually filed and had approved one of the first self-insurance groups in California in 2004.
Tell us more about that. When it collapsed in the early 2000s, what was the driving force behind that?
I think the driving force was an out-of-control system of benefits, primarily for injured workers. It was way too easy to litigate, way too easy to file stress claims. There were no real reins on the medical provider. So all the cost drivers in the system were out of control. As a matter of fact, the person that authored the workers' comp reform in the early 2000s was our local assembly member here in Fresno, Chuck Pachigian. Once that bill passed and Governor Schwarzenegger signed it, and people may recall, one of the big reasons that Governor Schwarzenegger became the governor was because the workers' comp market was falling apart in the state, and people elected him to replace the old governor in part to fix that. Well, that set off a chain of events where we could get that under control, but so many carriers were bankrupt that it didn't create market condition improvement right away. Self-insurance came into the picture to help with that immediately for us.
You mentioned something earlier that I want to go back to. You mentioned brokers that just shop it every year. And we see this even with, we've got different types of members in our group, some that really get it and they know that they've made a business decision to self-insure their risk. And then we've got some that have brokers that do go shop it every year. And it's a pain, but we deal with it. But talk a little bit about that. What does this mean about shopping it every year and not?
I think it starts with the language you use. We don't use the word quote when we're showing people alternative strategies to finance their coverage. We're talking about a 3 to 5 year strategic decision that we're making to finance our risk in workers' comp. So we take the commoditization of this off the table immediately. We don't even get into a discussion with anybody about it unless they're willing to commit to it for a while. And so that's a big factor. Self-insurance has become the most predictable, most budgetable way of doing workers' comp in California. It's subject to some of the whims of the marketplace, but not all. And the fact is that if you get involved with a good group that's run really well, you can have a great long-term solution.
And what's the education process look like to educate your new brokers or brokers that haven't done it or employers or business owners who are nervous about it?
We have a huge responsibility to explain this very thoroughly to everybody. All of the aspects of group self-insurance, joint and several liability, the fact that we're making a strategic business decision to do it this way. We downplay the ability to recover some of what you pay in, even though that's a great feature of group self-insurance, but we downplay it and we let everybody know, listen, this is really primarily determined on how you perform and how you contribute. And by the way, you're going to be joining a group of people that have the same mindset that you do. Best in class risk management, safety, really good claims management. And you're all going to be swimming in the same direction. So you're going to have partners that have the same goals you do. And you just don't get that out in the insurance marketplace. So that's how we make group self-insurance attractive to people when they're considering it.
What would be the three top things that sway someone to make the decision to go into self-insurance?
I think first and foremost, understanding that if they make this move, that their workers' comp insurance costs are not fully sunk costs. If they have a great year and the group that they're in has a great year, they have a chance to get some of that back. The second, ironically, I think, is the unbundled services that come with group self-insurance, where you can actually hold your claims people accountable for how good of a job they do. The flexibility in selecting a medical provider for your injured workers. There's so many aspects of this that give you more choices, you know, and so people like that. I mean, if you're with a first dollar insurance carrier and part of their operation's not doing a good job, you can't fire that part of the operation. You're stuck with it. And so I like that group self-insurance can pick best in class partners to deliver all of the services to the policyholders.
I love that. And we, in fact, at CRMBC, we did, in fact, do a dividend return of surplus a couple years ago. So that's very important for our members, knowing that if their traditional insurer has surplus, that's never coming back to the insured. But if they have a bad year, you better believe that their XMOD is going to go up. Speaking of which, the benefit of not having an XMOD in self-insurance, has that been something that has been important to members as they're making the decision to come in?
Well, in our particular group, we do use that because our accounts are smaller. But I think for large accounts, and we have clients that are large, we're really talking about coming up with a price for how they fund their workers' comp based on their own unique experience with or without an XMOD. So, yes, I mean, the XMOD is important in the marketplace, but for large accounts, not necessarily so. You really challenge your client. Like, listen, you're gonna thrive and you're gonna succeed or you're gonna fail based on what you do day in and day out to make your account profitable. And it gives them incentives. You know, the incentives are built in. And so the X mod becomes less important when they realize that, you know, what they pay ultimately is up to them.
That's exactly right. What we've seen recently was some business owners that had a shock loss and they were getting ridiculous rates on the traditional market. And then we were able to look at their experience and see that this was just one, you know, anomaly, but everything else was fine. And we were able to write them much more reasonably. So that's one of the benefits from our side of not having to be tied to that.
I mean, underwriting discretion is so important, and not punishing somebody for years and years and years for perhaps something that wasn't even preventable. So that's one of the other aspects I like about a group. Now, underwriting discretion can cut both ways, right? And, you know, self-insurance groups have to be selective. They've got to dig deep into the practices of anybody they're considering to join. And I know that's done at CRNBC. So, but that is a key to making a program work, by the way, is making sure they've got all the nuts and bolts in place to prevent injuries from happening.
You talked a little bit earlier about that, about the fact that self-insurance is really more predictable than any of the other insurances out there at this point, as long as it's run well. And since the 2000s, we all watched a number of self-insured groups go and self-insured standalones have their ups and downs as they were, you know, learning different things and different things that were going on. What do you say to people now that have seen all that history and are afraid that it could happen again, or they're afraid of what could happen?
Well, I think it's important to understand why that happened. It really happened for a number of reasons. One, you had some oversight of some of these programs internally. Some of the boards really weren't well-versed in how to make a program succeed. They were taking direction perhaps from program administrators that had their own financial interests ahead of the interests of people that were coming into the group. And yet brokers that were not explaining things at all. Matter of fact, they put clients in programs and didn't explain to them all of the ins and outs and the regulations. So you had these three things happening that caused the problem. And so what I talk about is, and I raise these issues proactively with anybody considering group self-insurance. And I say this: you've got a board that understands business. They understand how to run this group. You've got a program administrator that understands underwriting discipline and pricing discipline. You've got the best actuaries and the best CPAs looking over the financials and making sure that you're solvent. So the conditions that caused the problems a long time ago, I think that in today's self-insurance world, we have mitigated all of those with really good practices. Plus, California's regulations are better as well. So, you know, all of that means, I think, if everybody's doing their job, these programs work very well.
And that obviously is music to my ears, because we had a bunch of members that were victim to that, where brokers did not explain to them that they were in a self-insured group. And so we have to have some, you know, come to Jesus meetings with them while we try to rehabilitate them to understand that they own this group and they are responsible to themselves and their other co-members. So we love when we hear brokers that get it, and that's why we love working with you guys.
Good. Well, you know, and watching that whole rehab unfold was marvelous. It was textbook in how you fix a self-insurance program. And I think lessons learned, all the groups could look at that, learn lessons, avoid those mistakes. And that's why I think the industry's thriving now, is that it's gotten a lot better since the mid-2000s.
We're very excited about our group in particular. But so I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the other types of insurance. And, you know, we've got captives, we've got high deductible plans, we've got traditional, we've got self-insurance, self-insured groups. There's different businesses that are right for different vehicles. Give me a little bit of compare and contrast of what you think of these different vehicles and why you like self-insurance.
I think the second most popular way to finance workers' comp is in the captive world. And some of those captive structures are pretty ingenious. What happens though over time in a captive, which I think people don't understand, is that you get, you know, every year you got to put up collateral for losses, right? And so if you're in a captive 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, those collateral limits, they stack. And the next thing you know, you've got a couple, $3, 4, 5 million collateral obligation based on an actuarial report. You got to post a bond or post cash for that. And it gets expensive for a lot of businesses. So while we do have clients in captives, we explain that feature to them prior to them going into the captive. And so they're aware of it, but they still don't like it after 4 or 5 years. And so we find that if there's a good self-insurance program to put them in out of a captive, when they're tired of all that, they come into the group self-insurance world, where some of that still does exist, but it exists for the whole program, not a specific account. So we don't see a ton of high deductible comp. We don't really do a lot of it now. I think a lot of the terms and conditions for that are not nearly as favorable as captives and self-insurance groups. So, but it is out there, and you have the same problem with that. You have stacking collateral limits every year for losses, and it becomes very expensive.
So there, obviously there's standalone self-insurance and then self-insured groups. We're a self-insured group. What kind of businesses do you think are not right for a self-insured group?
I actually think a best-in-class business in any industry is right for self-insurance, either individually, depending on how large they are, or in a group setting. So one thing I do appreciate about group self-insurance is the homogeneity that's required. So you've got to be roughly in the same business category as your partner when you join the self-insurance group. Everybody in that group's your partner now. And so you can't have, roofers and contractors in a group with restaurants and churches. You got to have churches and schools with churches and schools. You got to have restaurants with restaurants. You got to have construction firms with construction. And I like the homogeneity, and I think there's safety in that. So I really don't see an industry that where this shouldn't be an option, because there's always really good operators no matter what industry that you're in.
And it does, because at least in our group, we're a restaurant self-insured group, like I said. And at least in our group, it becomes kind of a best in class where they're not only sharing their risk on workers' comp. Our board meetings and our meetings where we bring the members together become kind of a masterminding of sharing best practices and sharing networking. And it's a really interesting dynamic that we've created here with this. And I'm sure the other self-insured groups you work with do the same thing.
I would say, though, that the CRMBC has got a lot more robust idea sharing going on than most groups that I've observed. So, hats off to everybody driving that within the restaurant industry, because I think it's kind of a level up from what I've seen.
It's exciting. We have a really cool board, a couple members from the California Restaurant Association on our board. It's pretty fun. So what advice would you give to either, newer brokers that are at Hub or other brokers that are not at Hub that don't know about self-insurance or want to learn more?
I think you know, if you have a client that you think would be a good fit for this, the first thing you've got to do is talk with them about a commoditization approach versus a long-term financial strategy approach. And I wouldn't even show them anything about group self-insurance until they can make a commitment to stay in that program for 3 to 5 years at a minimum. And the reason for that is because I think jumping in and out of these arrangements is not good. I think the first dollar market doesn't really like it when you jump out of a self-insurance group back into the first dollar market. So the first thing is be entrepreneurial, be a business partner with your client, and try to sit in their seat and look at the world as they look at the world, and explain it as entrepreneurially as you can. And I think that's it. I mean, if you're a broker out there just quoting business, you shouldn't be showing them anything in group self-insurance. You're just not sophisticated enough.
Thank you for that. Now, Mike, let's say you have a crystal ball with all the things happening in the world with, wars and minimum wage increase and the insurance market hardening. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think we're going to see over the next year, 2 years, 5 years?
Well, we've had an extended period of time where the workers' comp market has been pretty quiet. And I guess I don't have a crystal ball other than to say if history shows us anything, that is not going to continue indefinitely. And so if you are a business owner out there, a broker out there watching this today, and you start to see the market tick up, self-insurance, I think, doesn't have near the volatility of the broader marketplace. And so you'll have an opportunity to provide a solution to your client, if in fact the market becomes something that is more negative than it is today. But with the other lines of insurance, I just don't know. I don't see any end in sight to the reinsurance crisis that's driving the property insurance market problems in California. The legal environment in California is really driving a lot of this as well. So I don't see that subsiding. Workers' comp's a bright light right now, and I think we have to keep it that way.
Mike, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. That's all the time we have, but I hope to have you back to talk again about other things that are relevant to self-insurance. And just thank you for giving us your time today.
Anytime. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on the Self-Insurance Podcast brought to you by CRNBC. If there's a topic you'd like to learn more about, or if you have any questions, please email us at info@crmbc.com. Make sure to subscribe, comment, like, and share. And please join us again next week for more Self-Insurance Insights.